Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
And people that like chew with their mouth open, kind of like,
yeah, my friends like that,
or people that eat in front of me when you're not eating and you're watching them eat grosses me out.
Welcome everybody to Teats and the Tit. Teats and the Tip.
You know what, that's an accurate fucking name. I'm the Tip, you guys are the Teats.
That's why Bailey said it, because she's a fucking genius.
Derf. Fuck, we picked the wrong goddamn name for this podcast.
Yep. Welcome to Teats and the Tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Just one
tip. Just one tip. Yeah. One singular tip.
Well, anyway, welcome everybody to Creeps in the Crypt.
I like our other name better.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to change the name of the show. God damn it.
I don't want to have to do the art for that.
Yeah, you can count on me to fuck shit up.
Damn, baby.
One penis surrounded by titties. Oh,
teats
fuck.
And the tip.
My God.
I'm changing our group chat. I love it.
What have we done? What? This is why God has forsaken us.
Remember that day that you decided to post, hey, we're looking for like a fourth person?
Well, thank God.
Do you regret your decisions yet?
Not one bit.
You will.
I will.
Maybe. She's going to bully you for the rest of your life.
You're fucked.
Damn.
I did it. I did it. I love it here.
My God. And all that is holy.
Oh. Anyway.
Hey, welcome, everybody. As always, I am Eric, and I am joined by these teats.
Christian.
And Sam.
And Bailey.
So, we're back again in full force. Everybody's here. The whole crew's here.
The whole family.
Fam Bam's back together.
Girl. Oh, man. I am just chomping at the bit for this episode.
You have no idea how ready I am.
Sam's like, Sam's got her fucking war paint on for this one.
I did not take my makeup off. You are correct.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm so excited.
Everybody else here is dressed like they're ready for bed. And Sam's
I also came from work, so don't at me.
I'm just saying, like, you
are
came
you joking? You I came ready. I have three looks. Asleep.
I got three looks.
Yeah, I really do. Sexy, sleepy, and slutty.
Same. Mine's Jim. Sleepy and slutty. Jim, sleepy, slutty.
Same.
I like to think that I'm a Kesha. Mm. Like some people are a Taylor Swift. Some people are like a Pink, like a classy. Some people are an Adele.
Yeah, I'm a Kesha. I don't think Pink's classy.
Yeah, she's like a classy, like.
She's dressed like a biker most of the time. Yeah,
but like, have you ever heard her speak? So eloquent.
That's true. You're right.
She always got something deep to say.
You're right.
And her
songs. I don't know who I would classify myself as.
I have. You're like a Reba.
Thank you.
I'm so lost in this conversation.
Happily accept
maybe like
that.
A Dolly.
If no, this continues, I'm about sold. To be a Kurt Cobain. So
okay, well, bye. We're okay, now, bye. Now we're just the teats.
No tip.
We're tipless.
Teats and tipless.
Our dick is so soft.
The tipless teats.
Oh my god.
You did this to yourself.
You really did.
I'm swimming in the estrogen ocean here.
No, you started with me and then. I got Sam, and then you got Bailey, and then now here we are, big old.
You know, like those. I don't. You know how I don't watch movies, but like you know those movies where it's like you need all of the stones or whatever, and then it like shines a big ray of light. Like you see the vision,
like the Infinity.
Fifth element.
Yes.
Yeah, like the fifth. Yeah, like the fifth element.
Am I one of the big turkey robots?
No. You got like the brunette, the redhead, and the blonde, and like when that Charlie's happened, Angels. Now we're just like supercharged, fucking feminine energy of like destroying you.
Some would call us feral.
Some may say feral energy.
Yeah,
destroying you with our love and kindness and friendship, but destroying and nonetheless. Fuckery. And fuckery.
Yes.
Well. Anyway, guys, please download the show. Please make this worth the abuse.
Help! First off, you like it.
It doesn't make me laugh. It does make me laugh.
Blink twice if you need help.
They can't hear him blink.
Exactly. Fuck. No one will hear you scream.
Oh shit, man.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Jesus.
See how excited they all are tonight?
Okay.
So it's like fucking herding cats up here.
Well.
That one's easy. The other two not so much, but that one's easy.
Yeah.
He can't run too fast.
No.
Him's a big boy.
But yeah, without further ado, Sam, let's do this. We're doing OJ Part 2, everybody. So
I'm ready.
Take it away.
So where we left off last week was OJ had just been arrested after the low speed chase in his Bronco for the murders of Nicole and Ron.
Yeah, very low speed chase.
35 miles an hour down the freeway.
That made Domino's a lot of money.
Crazy. Yeah. They honestly should have a pizza called the Santa Ana.
I've been asking, like, everyone that's old if they remember.
Not everyone first of all.
Is this,
but, like, everyone.
This is their 9/11? Like, where were you when OJ
literally, was? I've been, like, asking everybody.
Y'all, it kind of is, though.
Yeah.
It's our generation's Pearl Harbor.
And they all know exactly where the fuck they were. I'll tell you that.
I was a baby.
I was negative born.
I was two.
I was a sperm.
Two.
I was
three. You're just a little swimmer.
Four. I was just swimming.
Hey, you weren't. Swimming. You weren't three.
I was
when
two.
When is this happening in?
1994.
Well, four? The trial was 95.
The murders were 94.
Yeah, the murders were 94, but the
and
trial.
And the chase was 94.
Yeah, but the trial.
That's what I thought you were talking about was the chase.
Three, four.
I was two.
Same difference.
I was five and I remember it.
Well, you're older than me.
But like fucking 4 months.
You're so fucking old.
Yeah, but I watched the news as a child. So
see, my parents sheltered me from that.
Same.
I was watching SNL and shit. Like
SNL
could never be me. I would no.
I'm an old soul. What can I say? I got along, dude. When I was in high school, I got along with like people in their 30s and shit. Like I didn't hang out with any kids in high school. I hung out with grown fucking adults.
And me.
And you. Yeah. Anyway.
So.
Most awkward pause ever.
The millennial pause.
I got lost in thought and I was like, oh shit, yeah. I have to talk.
Yeah. That is your thing.
I'm just going to leave that in too.
What?
That awkward pause.
Come on.
That's fine. So we're going to take a little dive into the crime scene here for a second. So buckle the fuck up.
All the nasty. Yeah,
apparently a few of you really wanted this and requested this. So here we go.
Bunch of fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
Same
facts. So no, I found the autopsy reports. So all these, there's a lot of words that I don't know what they mean, but I can say them.
Okay. Then let's go with it.
They're not dinosaur names.
I would have just not even prefaced that.
This will be a good test for me with like my personal trainer certification. See if I know what any of this shit means.
Okay.
Cause you know, anatomy.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Tits and tips.
Nips and tits. Teats and tips.
So Nicole had sustained multiple stab wounds and slashes, including her neck, both right and left common carotid arteries, incisions to the right and left jugular veins. Like her larynx is exposed. Like this
if
was.
If you haven't looked at the crime scene photos, go look.
It is bad.
She was almost decapitated.
So what I don't know if I want to say that. Never mind.
True.
Is she like a Pez dispenser?
A little bit, no, yeah.
That's fucked.
I will never look at a Pez dispenser the same way.
What other way are you supposed to look at it?
God. I don't know. So there's also a transection to the thyrohyoid membrane.
And Bailey's already out.
Out.
When you said neck, I was going to be like, I know where that is.
The epiglottis.
I know that one. I'll tell you. Yes. That one's the little flap that when you eat, it opens and closes.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a Pez dispenser.
Yeah, literally.
Pretty much. It's like a reverse Pez dispenser.
It is.
Because you're putting food in and up. Never. Anyway.
That's your flap. So.
Well, that could be taken a bunch of different ways. 1-800, we flapping.
Get out of my face. So, epiglottis and hypopharynx.
Don't know. But I know the next one, the cervical section of your spine is the, I think it's the middle of your spine.
That would be your thoracic.
Okay. I'm going to fail this exam so fucking hard.
Cervical is down, not your lumbar, up here then.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Guys,
you know, where she was almost decapitated from.
Cut that out.
That tracks. Anyway, Eric, no one fucking asked you.
That's why I kept my mouth shut.
As you should. I'm sorry, that was mean. I'm not sorry.
God.
Stab wounds to her neck and scalp, totaling 7. Injuries to her hands, as well as specifically the ring finger on her right hand.
Oh, shit.
And she had a bruise on the right side of her parietal region of her skull.
That's the thing about, like, getting stabbed that freaks me out the most is the defensive wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you throw your hand up and just catch a knife right through the hand. I'm like, ugh! Just thinking about that, it's terrifying.
You don't think it was intentional that the ring finger was?
Well, it'd be, no, because it would be the left, not the right.
Oh.
She left-handed.
Oh, right hand. I see.
She was absolutely eviscerated. It brutal. Ron Goldman's injuries were a sharp force wound to the neck, the left side with a transection of the left internal jugular vein, multiple stab wounds to the chest, abdomen, left thigh, right hemothorax.
I don't know. I'm going to fail the exam for real. This is stressful.
And hemoperitoneum.
You sounded confident.
So I'm going to go with hemoperitoneum. I'm assuming you don't know what
that is. No. No.
I'm going to say a prayer for you.
Well, none of these were in the... The only one that was actually in the course was the sections of the spine.
What is it?
It's the...
Your perineum.
The space that contains your abdominal and your pelvic organs.
So your perineum? No. Perineal area?
Like...
Your gooch?
Yeah, basically. The gooch.
I'll stab you right in the fucking gooch.
Stabbed in the gooch.
Yeah, but from the backside.
Yikes. Ah! Yeah. No, thank you.
Stabbed in the asshole.
Basically.
Yo. Also, multiple incised wounds to the scalp, face, neck, chest, left hand, which were defensive wounds. And he had multiple abrasions to his upper extremities, which were also defensive wounds. It's important to note that... So these two were... It was a horrible crime scene, if you have not seen photos.
A lot of blood.
Yeah, there's no way that whoever committed the murders left clean. Not a fucking chance in hell.
And I mean, blood is very hard to get off.
Yeah, when you...
You never get it all. Ever.
When you turn somebody into human Swiss cheese, yeah.
Oh. Even the ground beef. It was gross. So during this whole investigation, like from the moment that police made contact with OJ to tell him that Nicole had been murdered up until like literally the day he died, he has maintained his innocence. Allegedly.
Well, you know, unless...
Allegedly.
Unless it allegedly came clean after all those people signed that NDA. They went to visit him.
I don't know. I don't... We'll get there. So, on July 24th, 1994, OJ pleads, quote, absolutely, positively, 100% not guilty to the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. And Judge Lance Ito? I don't know.
It's Lance Ito.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's funny.
I'm funny sometimes. Ito.
Because Jay Leno had a big bit about the dancing Itos.
Oh.
So he had a bunch of people dressed up as the judge.
Oh.
And they would dance during the Jay Leno show.
Got it. So Judge Lance Ito is assigned to the case. On September 9th, 1994, the prosecutorial team led by Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden decided to seek life without parole as opposed to the death penalty. November 3rd, 1994, the jury is selected and is made up of 4 men and 8 women. 8 of the jurors are African American, 1 is Hispanic, 1 is white, and 2 are of a mixed race. It didn't specify what 2 or plus. I don't know.
So one thing that's important to note here is the Rodney King beating just happened like not long before this.
Can somebody please explain to me what that is?
So Rodney King was a black guy who was unjustly beat the shit out of by police officers in LA. and it caused a shit ton of riots, and it really spotlighted racial injustice in the country.
Heard.
On, like, a mass scale. So that is a fresh wound in everyone's mind when this trial started.
Okay. So just before the trial is set to begin, Robert Shapiro and F. Lee Bailey, two of the Dream Team members, they stop speaking to each other. Basically, Robert wanted F. Lee Bailey to kind of consult on the case and not argue it, like not sit at the bench or not the bench, the table, whatever. But F. Lee Bailey ended up cross-examining Mark Furman, and Robert didn't like that. So contrary to the docuseries People versus O.J. Simpson, which is very good if you have not seen it, Robert said that he never spoke to anyone at any point in time about a plea deal. That is John Travolta. If you have seen it, it's John Travolta's character. And he, like, goes in and talks to the prosecution about a plea deal. Says that Robert Shapiro said that that never happened in real life.
It was made for drama.
Right. They did. They stuck pretty darn well. I mean, obviously, it's a docuseries, kind of. And what's it? Well, no, what's it called? Not a biopic. I forget what it's called. Not a reenactment or anything like that.
I'm not sure. It's a dramatization for sure.
I'm going to remember it in 3 to 5 business days. And if then I'm like, that's what it is.
Perfect.
If you're listening on Spotify, tell us when you can, in the interaction for the episode.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they can.
Yeah, they can interact with us on Spotify.
I love that. Okay.
I will post it.
Yes. So on January 25th, 1995, opening statements for what would later be known as the trial of the century began. This trial lasted 252 days.
Yeah, how would you like to be sequestered for that shit?
The jury was sequestered for almost 9 months.
What does that mean?
It means you can't watch any TV.
Mm-mm.
You can't read the newspaper. You have to basically sit in a hotel room when you're not in the courtroom.
That's yeah.
Crazy. And you can get sequestered. It's jury duty. Basically, yeah. You got these unlucky people got picked for fucking jury duty, and then they got stuck in the court. And you don't get shit for pay either.
Yeah, but imagine. Be a juror so bad.
Same. Could you imagine being a fucking juror on the O.J. trial?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yo.
Dude, I've never got picked for jury duty.
I've never gotten
the little email message.
Fuck all of you.
Mail. I've never been picked.
I've been picked 5 fucking times.
Dude, I would give anything.
Literally.
Like,
pick, put me in, coach. Put me in.
Yeah, it's never the people who guilty. Fucking want it.
Guilty!
Well, I got off last time because I told him I have a true crime podcast and I can't be impartial.
Yeah, fair.
Sam over there. Her? Get in the chair. I just had a traffic violation.
Death penalty.
I was just jaywalking.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were like, I told him, I was like, look, just so you guys know, I do have a true crime podcast and I will talk about shit. And I was not picked.
I would be like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Put me in, coach.
Same.
Man, I got bills to pay. I can't be fucking around with that shit.
I just want to do it for the plot. I just want to be one. Yeah. One time.
It's just and then people shoplifting from fucking Walmart.
Give them the chair.
Yeah. Give them the chair.
So it was like basically what I was thinking. It was like petty crime.
Yeah.
It's just
I don't care. Well, sometimes
you never know, though.
No. You know.
Nah,
I would be so. I would be so eager to answer all the questions. They'd be like,
if anyone from the county is listening, it's going to be Sam and Bailey.
Samantha Johnson, Bailey Watkins.
Actually, please. My government name is Ashlyn.
Shut the fuck up.
So.
I never knew that.
Yeah. No one should.
Well,
and no one better not think they're fucking funny either and start calling me that shit because it's not fucking funny.
Fair.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
OJ retained what we now know as the Dream Team as his legal counsel. It consisted of Johnny Cochran as lead counsel, followed by Robert in no particular order, Robert Kardashian,
I'm just saying. And then he fucked his wife.
Foreshadowing, Bailey.
Oh, God. Here we go. The fucking... I'm anyway. Haunted by these fucking people.
So, I have anything to do with it.
So it's Johnny Cochran, lead counsel, followed by Robert Kardashian, Robert Shapiro, who replaced Howard Weitzman, Barry Scheck, Alan Dershowitz, Robert Blazer, lots of Roberts, Sean Chapman Holly, and F. Lee Bailey. All made up this team. And with a name like the Dream Team, it comes with a not-so-dreamy price tag of $50,000 per day.
For 252 days.
Imagine.
We don't have to. We can calculate it.
Well, what is it? Drum roll, please.
Wait. 52,000?
50,000 times 252.
Meep. Drum roll?
Sounded like a fart, dude.
I don't know what the fuck. I don't have anything to. So it'd be $12,600,000.
Yikes!
And in today's money, that's a fuck ton.
Yeah. So he sold football memorabilia in order to pay for the Dream Team.
That'll come into a play later.
Yes. So the dance that both sides did around each other and the case, it's quite remarkable. Lead prosecutor Marcia Clark said in her opening statement, quote, "He killed her out of jealousy. He killed her because he couldn't have her." The prosecution relied heavily on the history of domestic violence between OJ and Nicole by using the divorce as a main motive for OJ to have committed the murders. Johnny Cochran, however, gave the opening for the defense the next day, and he stated, this quote, "This case is about a rush to judgment, an obsession to win at any cost." The defense team based their argument largely on the fact that evidence had been mishandled and that many of the LAPD officers were racist. A man named Mark Furman in particular, which we will get to him in just a moment. Not later.
Like I said, they're playing off this whole like Rodney King racial injustice, yeah, police corruption shit.
So,
which they were.
Yeah. The Dream Team claimed that evidence had been planted by the police in order to frame OJ.
Well, the crime scene was severely mishandled.
Correct. And we talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
It's also important to note that the police and detectives never really opened up to it being anyone else other than OJ. Like, their sights were set on him from the rip.
Well, a lot of the time, like, if you look at the wounds.
Yeah.
They immediately thought crime of passion.
Oh, for sure.
But the way that they're, like, Nicole's neck was slashed was basically something you see a lot of the times in professional hits. So, Colombian necktie, like, the cartel's big into that shit.
Well, yeah.
Like, they'll cut your throat so deep that they can pull your tongue through and it looks like a tie.
I didn't know that's why I call it a fucking necktie.
Colombian necktie. Yep. That's why.
Yoinks.
That's why it's called that.
Zoinks, Scoob. I am no longer hungry. So, thank you.
What? You don't want any lingua tacos?
What? No.
It's cow tongue. It's delicious.
That's disgusting.
I'm good on that.
You disgust.
Hard pass.
It's great.
But thank you for the offer.
Most tender meat you can get.
I wonder what the protein is on that.
Pretty good.
What? Anyway. So just after the trial began, OJ released a book called, quote, well, not quote, sorry. I got used to saying that. he releases a book called I Want to Tell You, My Response to Your Letters, Your Messages, Your Questions. On February 12th, the jury is taken on a little field trip to Nicole's home to take a tour of the crime scene. And then
the fact that he put out a book while he was on fucking trial.
That's crazy.
Right. So I want to read it. So at this point now, the testimonies are beginning. Around 150 witnesses took the stand during the course of the trial, but OJ never did, which is smart on the defense side.
He's all like concussed up from all those years of football. He can't be on the fucking stand.
So
probably got CTE and shit.
So we're going to dive into Detective Mark Furman now. He's a detective for the LAPD.
Is the guy who probably is the reason they lost the fucking case. Let's just be honest.
Possibly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
This ruined his career.
For sure. Just wait.
With bated breath.
Then shut the fuck up.
Okay.
So Marcia Clark begins to question Mark Furman. It turns out that back in 1985, I didn't know this, by the way. This was new to me, this part right here. So back in 1985, he was a beat cop out in West LA.
What does that mean?
He was a patrol. He walked
the streets.
Yeah, he's patrolling. Back in West LA, and he responded to a code 415, which is a family dispute. He was directed to go to 360 North Rockingham, which I don't know if it was OJ's home or Nicole's home. I'm pretty sure it's OJ's because it says Rockingham. Could be wrong. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Nicole's house was on Bundy.
We'll roll with it.
Anyway, so 360 North Rockingham. Mark gets there, and OJ and a light-haired female of average weight and height was leaning on the hood of a car with her head in her hands and crying. He said that Mark said that he didn't get a good look at the woman's face and wouldn't have been able to identify her if he saw her again. So we don't know if it's Nicole or not. We don't ever find out. The windshield on the car, which is a Mercedes, was smashed, and a baseball bat was leaning on a wall near the front door. Mark asks whose home it was. OJ responds that it's his home. Mark asked the female who broke the windshield, and she said he did, meaning OJ. Mark states that OJ confirmed that he was the one who smashed the windshield. He notes that OJ's demeanor is agitated but not out of control, and there were no visible marks on the woman. He asked her if she wanted a report made, but she said no, so Mark and his partner left, No report was made. No follow-up. No field incident thing. No nothing.
That's not how that shit goes down these days.
Hell no. So
going to jail.
There was a letter written to Johnny Cochran back in July of 1994. So about a month after the murders. Yes. A woman named Kathleen Bell is the author, the writer, the letter writer. Anyway. and it talks about her interaction with Mark Furman back in 1985. Mark visited a Marine recruiting office in Redondo Beach sometime between 1985 and 1986. And I'll say allegedly.
Allegedly.
Actually, not allegedly. We'll find out why in a bit. Met a woman named Kathleen Bell. And Kathleen was a guest on Larry King Live a month prior to Mark's testimony. And one of the DAs on the team advised him to watch that episode to see if she jogged his memory. And he claims that he has no idea who this woman is. He was cross-examined on March 13th, 1995, and he denied him being racist despite there being tapes of him using racial slurs by Laura McKinney. He was also on record bragging about police brutality. Laura McKinney had been working on a film about female police officers and had been interviewing other officers in the station. Mark said that this is... He said that this is a part of the defense's theory that he... Yeah, it is Mark. Undermined the investigation... Leave me alone. Undermined the investigation by tampering with the evidence. And the defense accused Mark of planting the bloody glove in OJ's Bronco. So, yeah. We're going to put a pin in Kathleen, though. So, remember her. Cato Kalin, OJ's house guest the night of the murders.
Pool boy.
Takes the stand and describes the events from his perspective of that night. Cato and OJ spent the evening together just hours before the murders. Criminologist Dennis Fung testifies that proper protocols were not exactly followed correctly at the crime scene. He confessed that some proper protocols weren't followed correctly. And Johnny Cochran mentioned in his opening statement that the LAPD just had traipsed through evidence and over evidence and all around the crime scene. They JonBenet Ramsey'd this bitch.
They really did. They bungled it.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to like walk through the crime scene when the entire fucking crime scene is just
blood.
Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, LAPD had missed a piece of paper with fingerprints on it initially at the scene. So, do with that what you will. On May 10th, 1995, the DNA testimony began, which is what I did my senior project on in high school. The DNA advancement during this case, and since then, up until 2010, is when I did my project, from 95 to 2010, the advancement of that. Jurors learned that 1 in 170 million people, including OJ, would have the same genetic characteristics as the drop of blood that was discovered at the crime scene. Well, not drop, the sample. DNA testing wasn't as advanced and detailed as it is today, but
yeah, remember we talked about this before when we covered, what was her name? Crystal
Faye Todd.
Yeah. Crystal Faye Todd. DNA just came out. So yeah. A lot of people didn't fucking trust it at the time. This wasn't like the time of like CSI being on TV. Nobody really knew what the fuck DNA was about.
Right.
So they looked at it as like pseudoscience at this point in time. Mm.
So back then, they really could only tell the blood type and match that to the suspect. So like if type O negative was found at the scene, they could only test to see if you had type O blood And I'd be like, oh, that you die. Could be your blood, allegedly.
I'd be like, yeah, me or 100 and some billion other people.
Right. So, yes, the DNA found at the scene did connect OJ to the murders. But we're... good I've job.
Knocked my water bottle over.
We're gonna...
Shame.
We're going to get back to the DNA part. Not that specifically, but why it matches to OJ. Of course, we can't talk about the trial of the century without talking about the most infamous piece of evidence, the leather glove that was found near Ron Goldman's body. On June 15th, 1995, Christopher Darden of the prosecution had OJ try on the leather gloves in front of the jury. OJ tries to put them on and finally gives up, saying they are, quote, too tight. Hmm. September 5th, 19...
Well, before we go any further, more about the glove. So this glove had been covered in fucking blood.
Right.
And then it was frozen, and then thawed out, and then frozen again, and then thawed out, which causes leather to shrink.
Uh-huh.
The other caveat to this is the Dream Team may have told OJ to skip his arthritis medicine for a few days.
Mm.
So his hands would swell up.
Yeah. Allegedly.
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 Allegedly. I love that word.
It's my favorite word.
But, yeah. So you add those two factors in and no, your glove won't fit.
If it even was his glove. Anyway.
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh. There's a lot of live, laugh, and allegedly going on in here.
Live, laugh, glove.
That's good.
Just a bunch of fucking white women in a room laughing at live, laugh, glove jokes.
That might be the episode title is Live Laugh Glove.
I love that. Honestly. Yay.
Mama, we made it.
So September 5th, 1995. Kathleen Bell takes the stand. Remember Kathleen?
Mm-hmm. We do.
So she told the jury about how she had met Mark Furman by chance while she was working as a real estate agent for Century 21. She would often drop into the Marine Corps recruiting office, and Mark, being an ex-Marine, would also drop in from time to time. I guess reliving his glory days. I don't fucking know.
Y'all hired? Is that what he's doing?
They gonna have to. So when she saw Mark, she immediately thought that he would be a good match for her friend. So she, being a good friend, decides to, you know, see if she can play Cupid.
Well, you know, women love a man in uniform.
We do. Yes, we do. Anyway, so they're chatting up, and Kathleen brings up African-American football running back Marcus Allen. This supposedly set Mark into this tirade that Kathleen compared to, quote, Nazi Germany. She said, no, Mark said, quote, if he had his way, all N-words, but he used the word, the hard R word, would be gathered together and burned, end quote. Mm. Kathleen.
Not a good look, Mark.
No. Kathleen immediately left the office. Another witness, Natalie Singer, took the stand after Kathleen and testified that she remembered Mark saying to a friend, quote, the only good N-word is a dead N-word, end quote.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Old Marky Mark's not looking so good, is he?
Yeah, like I said earlier, this is the reason this case fucking tanked.
What?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We'll get there. So, the defense's closing statements began on September 28th, 1995. And in Johnny Cochran's closing statement, he said the most infamous line in the entire trial of a century.
If the glove don't fit.
If you don't shut the fuck up, Eric.
Jesus.
Oh, I thought you were queuing me up to say it. I'm sorry. Do you want to say it?
Yes, I do, because I have the whole sentence.
Sarah's okay. Like, this is okay. All I want.
I am the captain now.
Okay.
So, quote, like the defining moment in this trial, the day Mr. Darden asked Mr. Simpson to try on those gloves and the gloves didn't fit. Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. He also goes over the timeline of the start of the night of the murders. So he brings up the dogs barking at Nicole's house between 10:35 and 10:40. He uses the 10:40 time slot as his starting point. Henry Lee and Michael Baden said they were investigators, said that these murders indicated a struggle, that it could have lasted anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes from start to finish. And remember, Cato heard the thumps outside of the guest house at 10:40, 10:45. So just for that, he said, quote, you're never going to be ever able to reconcile this timeline and the fact that there is no blood back there. And O.J. Simpson would run into an AC on his own property, causing the thump. And then under her scenario, Marsha Clark, he still has the knife and the clothes. But what did she tell you yesterday? Well, he still has the knife and he's still in these bloody clothes and presumably in bloody shoes. And what does he do? He goes in the house. Now, thank heaven Judge Ito took us on a jury view. You've seen this house. You've seen this carpet. If he went in that house with bloody shoes, with bloody clothes, with his bloody hands, as they say, where's the blood on the doorknob? Where's the blood on the light switch? Where's the blood on the banister, on the carpet? That's like almost white carpet going up those stairs. Where is all that blood trail they've been banting about in this mountain of evidence? You will see that it's a little more than a river or a stream. They don't have any mountain or ocean of evidence. It's not hard. It's not so because they say so. That's just rhetoric. We this afternoon are talking about facts. And so it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. In Marsha Clark's closing statement, she talked about how OJ is very recognizable. Hey, OJ's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she also said, and in that same closing statement, she says that OJ puts on a disguise to go murder Nicole and run, which consisted of a knit cap and dark clothing, mind you. So, Johnny puts... during Johnny's closing statement, Johnny puts on this knit cap similar to the one that OJ allegedly wore that night and said, quote, let me put this knit cap on. You've seen me for a year. If I put this knit cap on, who am I? I'm still Johnny Cochran with a knit cap. And OJ in a knit cap from two blocks away is still OJ Simpson. Johnny says, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit multiple times. I think I stopped counting at like 5. Mm. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I read the whole thing. I love that closing statement. So.
Well, apparently he does too.
Yeah.
As he should. I mean.
It was his best work. And then he died from cancer not long after that.
Mm. Oof. So on October 2nd. The jury was sent back to begin their deliberations. The jury only took 4 hours to reach a verdict.
Well, damn, they've been held up for 9 months. I'm sure they're going to be done. Wait.
Guilty or not guilty? Guilty or not guilty? Guilty or not guilty? Let's get this bitch out. So, took 4 hours to reach a verdict, but the reading of it was delayed by Judge Ito until the following day. I don't know why. So on October 3rd, National Mean Girls Day.
Bitch.
My eyes just like rolled so hard. I have a headache now.
Believe this was prior to.
I don't care. The jury found Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of both murders. It was one of the most watched TV events in history. 150 million people tuned in to hear the verdict.
Domino's made a lot of money that day, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Like, it, I think it might have beat the record for the white Bronco.
Probably. So, OJ was taken back to court in 1997. So, that's 2 years later.
Well, before we do that, can we talk about, like, the jury itself?
Yeah.
So you said earlier it was 8 African American women.
8 African Americans. Okay. It was eight women and four men. Yeah. Okay. Eight of them were African American.
So remember, like I said earlier, the Rodney King case just happened. And then you see all these corrupt LA cops that have been proven to be racist in the eyes of the court. It was a layup for the defense. It was layup. It was child's play.
For sure. So
even if he did do it, they're like, yeah, we're going to let him off and, you know, fuck the cops.
This was quite the divide on did he or didn't he? Most African Americans believed he didn't do it, and then most white people believed he did do it. So that this trial by itself caused so much racial tension.
Oh yeah,
in big all time. Over. Yeah. So in 1997, OJ was taken back to court, but not criminal court. Civil court this time. He was found liable for the wrongful deaths of Nicole and Ron and was ordered to pay their families $33.5 million in damages.
Which he still owes some of to this day.
Yeah, I think it's like...
He's dead?
His estate technically would have to pay it, but
yeah.
They're trying to figure out ways to not do that.
Huh. So... 2 years after that, in 1999, OJ moves to Florida, mainly because there was a state law that prevented his home from being seized to help cover the civil damages.
Florida man.
OJ's a Florida man now, y'all.
Florida man.
I'm shocked him and Casey Anthony never did, like...
Oh, my God.
Any bar events or anything like that.
Bar events.
Like,
next on stage.
Hosted a karaoke or a trivia night or something.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Jesus. No.
True crime bingo.
So.
You all can't have that idea. It's mine. It's my idea.
He auctioned off more of his memorabilia to raise money, and he had hoped to return to show business after all this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He made headlines once again for having a fit of road rage in December of 2000, but he was acquitted of that, of the road rage.
You can just do whatever, huh?
Never mind. I was going to say he got away with murder, but...
Allegedly.
In October of 2008, he was convicted of 12 counts of armed robbery and kidnapping with Clarence Stewart.
Well, before that, he did have a budding rap career.
I forgot about the rap career.
Play us a song.
He copyright. Only came out with... he also hosted like a prank show called You've Been Juiced.
Bro, say psych right now.
No,
say
psych. No, that's true. Look it up. He hosted to pay all this money to the Goldmans, he was like trying to figure out his next move. So the dude that owned Bum Fights. I think he was the guy for Bum Fights. Hit him up and it's like, what if we do a prank show? And he would do all these pranks and shit.
Oh my God.
Some of them were
he
funny.
He stabbed somebody. You got juiced. Like, what?
Sounds like a Mad TV bit.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'm about to play for you is some of OJ's rap.
I can't take credit. Okay, Orenthal.
It's called Juiced, the music.
Juiced.
Why do people wonder about my intentions? Uh-huh. Why do people ask me so many questions about how I made it to the top? About all the times I make those teams defensive stops. They say, yo, coach, there's no stopping the juice. And when I'm on the field, I'm like a lion going loose. You better shoot me with a tranquilizer dart. Don't be fool stupid. I'm not a Simpson named Bart. I'm not a cartoon. Yeah. You silly baboon. You're like a tiger in the state of monsoons. Can't you see the only way I live my life is large? And I got the most games with 200 plus yards.
She say panties dropping?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a bop.
Was this before or after?
This was after.
He has some gall.
The music video is just him with a bunch of girls' tits out around him.
He's got some gall.
It's pretty wild.
Got me.
If anybody has the audacity. It's Orenthal. I
mean, dude, OJ.
Orenthal's got the gall.
OJ had no shame.
Are you a rapper now, Bailey?
Oh, yeah.
Did you discuss his other book yet?
I don't think we did.
Because that came out before he went to jail for the sports memorabilia thing.
The one he had to give to the Goldmans? Yeah.
If I did it?
I'm about to.
Okay, cool.
So I did mix up those two paragraphs. Maybe. But anyway, we're still talking about it. So, the kidnapping and robbery with Clarence Stewart, they were both sentenced to up to 33 years in prison with the possibility of parole after 9 years. Yeah.
So he did go to prison?
He did. Like, the judge for that says, that this is not, retaliation, for what happened in the 90s when they sentenced him.
Right.
She had to like preface that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about his tell-all book.
Yeah. So in late 2006, OJ decided to publish a book called If I Did It. It was a hypothetical account of how he would have committed the murders. But after the book deal fell through, a federal bankruptcy judge awarded the book's rights, like the publication rights, to the Goldman family. And they added commentary to the manuscript and retitled it and re-book covered, whatever you want to call that, book art, whatever. Mm-hmm. They retitled it to If I Did It, Confessions of the Killer.
Damn.
And it was published in September of 2007. And the if is like it's this big.
Super teeny.
That's so funny. So the illustration. It's like,
if I did it. Confessions of the Killer.
That's a serve. They said what they said. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. So... are we ready to dive into
the theories?
Yes.
Let's do this.
Okay. So there's a theory out there that OJ acted with a serial killer, that it was a dynamic duo moment, which allegedly...
Wonder Twin Powers Unite?
Well,
basically.
I don't think OJ, and this is just my speculation, I don't think he actually really committed them.
Well, that's in here.
Okay. Cool.
So, allegedly, there was evidence that there were two knives used in the murders. I couldn't find any source material that backed that up. Mm-hmm. But that is a rumor out in the mill. So, do with that what you will. In an interview with News Nation's Elizabeth Vargas, a man named Norman Pardo claimed that OJ is the person who killed Nicole and Ron, but he had help from a serial killer. A man named Glenn Rogers, a.k.a. the cross-country killer or the Casanova killer. He was convicted of first-degree murder times two for two separate murders back in 1997 and 1999, which were coincidentally also years that OJ was in trouble with the law. Norman said that, quote, OJ was with the guy who committed the murders at the beginning, but after OJ got cut, there was, on the night of the murders, there was a cut on his hand or something like that. Or not in the night of, when he got back from Chicago, there was evidence of a cut on his hand.
Yeah. Well, that's what they thought the blood on the white Bronco was from the cut on OJ's hand.
Yeah. So after OJ got cut, he cut and run. So OJ wasn't really there for the whole murders, like all of it. He was only there and got cut and left. The other guy did most of it. Norman also said Glenn was there, and our investigators found all the evidence, including where he worked and where he lived. That's why OJ never believed he did it, because he had already stepped out of the gate by the time it had happened. The murders. He's already gone, allegedly. So yeah, that was that one.
Well, I mean, that makes the most sense to me, and it doesn't hurt the fact that his former manager said that was the actual case with this. Like,
what do you mean?
So his former manager said he didn't act alone in the killings. Like, his former manager straight up said, yeah, I mean, he was involved, but he wasn't there. Like,
that actually helps my theory.
Well, they're referring to, like, it was referring to this guy, but...
Yeah, but it, but also...
Where my head's at, right, is OJ probably wanted an alibi, and it was a fucking hit. It was a hit, if that's the case. And if not the case, this guy, whoever did this, killed these two people in a span of 5 to 15 minutes.
There's, like, a lot of rage.
Or, you know, a professional. Somebody that knows what the fuck they're doing.
A professional wouldn't leave a paper with fingerprints on the scene.
Could be a red herring. But remember, Ron Goldman was a black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling, like, black belt would beat OJ's ass. But we don't know. Like I said, this is a lot of violence in a very short span of time. Mm-hmm. And whoever did this would be covered head to toe in blood. Mm-hmm. Which lets me think OJ did not do this.
Mm-mm.
He didn't get his hands dirty doing this.
Mm-mm.
So let's get into Sam's theory, because I see her just chomping at the bit over here.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Foaming at the mouth.
So, no.
Just rabid right now. Just.
So, my theory is OJ did not do it. Period. Was he there? At some point, yes. But.
Okay, this is where the house is. What up, Twitter world?
Shut up.
What up, X?
What up, Twitter world?
What up, X world?
So my theory is that Jason, his son from his first marriage to Marguerite, is the one who committed the murders. And people be talking now. I've seen a whole lot more. There was not a lot of people, like, ever, that had the same theory as me about this case. Mm-hmm. And now I feel very validated.
Well,
I'm just gonna
say
that
some big podcast did it, and then it, like, got a lot of traction. I can't remember which show it was, but somebody, like, a bunch of people, It's a pretty well-known theory.
Well, it wasn't back then. Back in 2010 when I, like, was down my little rabbit hole. But, anyway, so in 2012, a man named William C. Deere wrote a book called O.J. is Innocent and I Can Prove It.
What else does William see other than Deere?
He's going to see my foot up your ass. In this book, he writes that Jason committed the murders in a fit of rage. And Jason, important, was never a suspect in these murders, ever. So, Jason had a history of violent outbursts and had been diagnosed with intermittent rage disorder, which is also known as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome, or Jekyll and Hyde syndrome. William found a diary entry of Jason's, confirmed via handwriting experts to have been written by Jason, that had descriptions of him being three different people. In this entry, he says that he will go as far as killing anyone who hurts his loved ones. Jason was also on a drug called Depakote in order to control his rage and his seizures. He had been arrested at least four times on charges such as DUI, driving with a suspended license, and assault with a deadly weapon. He had injured someone, I believe it was a former manager of his, and his ex-girlfriend with a knife during an argument. A knife.
Red flag.
He was in the Navy at some point. He had Navy knife training. Mm. And he was a sous chef. We're getting
there. The deadliest of all the things.
Deadliest of all the chefs.
So about 6 months before the murders, he had to seek emergency treatment after running out of his medications, which had caused him to hear voices of people who weren't actually there. So he's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Sounds like schizophrenia.
On the day of the murders, so Sydney had a recital, and they were going to go, they went out to eat after at Mezzaluna where Ron worked. Well, originally, they were supposed to go to the restaurant where Jason is the sous chef. And they had changed plans without telling Jason. So Jason's anticipating them coming to that restaurant. I almost said hotel. The restaurant, and they don't. Jason claims that he was at work the night of the murders. But his time card, it's like back in the 90s, they had these things called time cards.
Punch cards,
yeah. Punch cards. And you would sit it under a clock and it would stamp. Click. It would make a time stamp on your for in and out.
Yeah, there was no like flubbing the numbers.
Right, you couldn't do that. So
she had a friend punch out for you.
His time card was written in the night of the murders. Even though this time stamper thingy was in perfect working condition that night. No problems reported. Everyone else clocked out perfectly fine. But Jason's is written on in his handwriting. Mm. I'm just saying.
He's not a manager.
So.
It's going to be a write-up.
Me every day at my job. That's a write-up. Kidding, by the way. You're done. Kidding.
I used to see how many days I could not clock out at the job that me and Sam shared to just piss my manager off and ruin his day.
Oh, dude.
Poor James.
The person who's doing our payroll now will slit my throat and watch me bleed if I don't clock in and out correctly. Like, she ain't fucking around.
Call her OJ next time you see
her. Oh, my God.
Okay, OJ, I swear I'll do it.
Our manager will be like, Kristen, did you know you were clocked in for 3 straight days before I got in? I've
done that before.
Yeah, bitch, I love my job. What are you talking about?
I get paid $2 an hour. What the fuck are you going to do? Like, are you really that mad?
You would never, like, take. There was days, like, normally as a server, you would not, or a bartender, you wouldn't get a paycheck, really. Yeah. Because I would always have a paycheck. It would be, like, $80.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because he would want to go back, and he was lazy, too. Sorry. He was. He wouldn't want to go back and like edit it. So I was the only one getting a paycheck.
What a life.
I was like, oh, here's unexpected $80.
Jesus.
So the items that were found at the scene, the knit cap, the bloody glove, and a knife, now thought to be Jason's, hence why the evidence, quote unquote, matched OJ, but didn't match OJ. Jason was never brought in to have his DNA tested to rule him out. It's like they had freaking blinders on, and all I saw were OJ.
Well, yeah, because Mark Furman wanted to get OJ.
And OJ had retained an attorney for Jason, even though he was never a suspect.
Hmm.
Why? Why would you? For what reason do you retain another top defense attorney? It wasn't cheap. For someone who has never even breathed in the direction of to be a suspect,
just period. In case. He was
just in case of what?
They wanted to bring him in to testify against OJ.
He was at work, allegedly.
Yeah, but what is your father's character like?
Then why would he do it for the other three? It was just Jason.
I don't know, man.
Exactly. Anyway.
Sam. Yeah,
okay. So.
Let her cook. She's cooking right now.
She's fucking boiling, dude.
The pot is running over.
She's getting blushed right now.
Anyway. And that's just the lights. Anyway. So all in all, OJ had pretty much resisted police. He's like, I didn't do this, maintaining his innocence from start to finish.
To the day he died.
Yes. So.
RIP.
There is video from a helicopter of OJ pulling into his Rockingham home. And in one of the videos, you see someone run out of OJ's home or out from somewhere, out from wherever he was, get to the Bronco. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he's escorted by police away from the Bronco. I think, now, I have since learned another piece of information, but up until recently, my theory was that person who ran out was Jason. Oops. Shut up, Bailey.
I was just thinking, like, you're going to flip a table. You're so heated. You're, like, punching shit.
So, I'm a lot calmer than I was for JonBenet. Yes. So,
very true.
So, I think that was Jason that ran out. And he, like, leans into the Bronco. Dad, I did it. I killed them. Allegedly. And that's all of a sudden when OJ starts cooperating. All of a sudden, he's like, yep, just take me in. And he had they had all that stuff.
Yeah, but why have OJ have a low-speed chase with a gun in his head, to his head, and all that shit?
I mean...
For the drama.
The drama.
I don't know, man.
If he maintains his innocence the whole time and he knows that his son did it, then doesn't that open his son up for speculation?
That's why he retained an attorney
for Jason. Right, but if he's trying to protect him.
He can't. OJ's defense team cannot represent Jason as well if he's a suspect. He has to have his own defense team.
Let me put it this way, right? If that was the case.
Allegedly.
OJ was acquitted.
Yes.
That means the case was still open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If OJ is maintaining his incident...
Incidents? He is maintaining
his innocence. Bitch, I'm tired.
Allegedly.
He's maintaining his innocence throughout this case, and he knows that his son did it, and that he's trying to protect him or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then if he gets off with it or gets away with it... gets away with it, then the case, like Eric said, is still open. So therefore, that opens Jason up to be a suspect.
Yes.
Allegedly.
But.
Just saying. All right.
Think about the backlash and all the shit that will be stirred up that when LAPD is like, yeah, well, it could be him. Let's investigate it. Could you imagine?
Well, the fact that this theory has existed for a while.
Yeah.
It's not a new theory. This is not breaking
ground. I'm not saying it's a new theory. I'm just saying that it's widely discussed. You can't tell me that
some hotshot cop in LA is going to work the cold case file on this to try to make a name for himself.
True.
That's where my head's at with it.
I don't think
anyone. The internet's done half the fucking work for you.
Correct. But I don't think they're going to touch it because of the shitstorm they made the first go round.
The dream team's no longer in existence.
Well, no.
Most of them are dead.
I'm not talking about like the dream team. I'm just like the proceedings, the mishandlings, the whole Mark Furman thing. Like that was a holy shitstorm. The trial lasted 252 days, and they didn't even do it.
But think about it like this, right? The end of the day, in the public's mind, OJ always did it.
Correct. And it's not going to change it, no matter who's on the stand.
But if you have some bombshell fucking evidence like people are bringing up with this, the cops, at the end of the day, it's about closing cases.
True.
That's where my head's at with it.
I don't think anyone's going to touch it. I think it's a black mark on the LAPD because of how badly they fumbled this case. Interesting
choice of phrasing.
I didn't even mean that. Oh, no. Oh, no. I fucked up it, Aaron.
You're canceled.
Whoops. This is my swan song. I will be leaving after this.
All right. We'll see you next time. There's a big series that you want to come back for.
All right. I'll take over from here. No,
I will take my exit now. Stage left.
No, you stay.
Quick, play her off.
But, I mean, I just think it's too much of a coincidence. I don't really believe
Salem's coincidence. Salem's puking on the floor.
No, he's doing that. He'll stop.
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. So, I mean, you're going to protect your babies at all cost. In my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
For what it's worth. Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Not me. I'm like, he did it.
See, I
yeah, I'm like, I don't owe him shit. Yeah, he did it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Here's the severed head in the trash can in the bathroom.
Yo, in the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
That shit was wild.
Yeah, that was nuts. I watched that entire thing.
Can you tell us what was in the bag? Right.
What's in the bag?
Yeah, what's in the bag?
I think that OJ finally started cooperating so that attention would be on OJ and not Jason. And he was prepared for Jason to be a suspect for the evidence, the DNA, anything to lead back. That's fine.
Explain the low-speed car chase with a gun to his head and where he's like, I'll kill myself.
Allegedly.
Well, that wasn't alleged. He said that.
Yeah. But he could have just said it. I can't
deal with this shit anymore. I'm going to do it.
Maybe the weight of his oldest son.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, but that's what I think. And also, so the new piece of information that I discovered during my dive back into the OJ pool was that Jason had called OJ after the murders, and that's why he was late getting into his limo to go to the airport, because OJ was in fact there, but he didn't do it. And that's why there's blood in the Bronco.
Mm.
And allegedly the glove.
Mm. I don't know. I think the glove was planted by the cops personally.
Could be. It very well. That's why I said allegedly. But that's why there's blood in the Bronco.
Well, the blood was supposedly his from the cut on his finger.
Allegedly. It could have been Jason's.
That's why I said supposedly. But anyway, we have some Kardashians to talk about for Bailey. So
yeah, we do.
I know.
So you have to do it. It's a must include.
I mean, I'll happily.
So what up, Twitter
scream
world?
Scream about this one. What up,
yeah, Twitter world? Here's Bailey's conspiracy theory involving OJ that she wants to discuss.
Would you like to read it?
I can.
If you want,
I can. Or do you want to commentate it?
Either way.
Let's have her commentate.
Okay.
All right.
So we cannot ignore the fact.
No, you cannot.
That there's a rumor out in the universe circulating that OJ Simpson is Khloe Kardashian's biological. I can't believe I fucking am talking about Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, but like,
Let me just say this. The Kardashians are fame vampires. They suck the fame and sanity away from all men that get involved with them. Look at Kanye.
Okay, he literally was the fucking defense attorney.
Look at, yes, and he sucked the fame away from OJ.
Oh my God.
They are fame vampires. Well,
Apple doesn't fall far.
No, it doesn't. Look at Ray J.
Yeah, well.
Suck that man dry.
So, Kris Jenner wrote in her memoir book back in November of 2011, and in that book, she admitted to having an affair while she was married to Robert Kardashian, who was one of the members of the Dream Team. After Kris and Robert divorced, he went on to marry a woman named Jan Ashley, who confirmed after Robert had passed that he knew that Khloe was not his daughter. She said, quote, "Khloe is not his kid. He told me that after we got married. He just kind of looked at me and said it like it was a matter of fact. He said, well, you know that Khloe's not really a Kardashian, don't you? And I said, okay. And that was it."
But yeah, the juice made her loose, man.
Oh my God. Panty dropper.
You did this.
Dude, you know what? But also, like, have you ever seen a side-by-side of, like, Khloe's real face and before then OJ?
Her real face? No, I haven't.
Like, look at the shit.
Okay.
Let me
get to these two paragraphs, okay. And then I will do it and let you have your soapbox moment. I had mine. It's your turn. So,
more of a soap opera.
So both Khloe and OJ have previously spoken out against the claims, and he denied that he's Khloe's father. Khloe also refused to take a DNA test to figure out who her actual father is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an episode on Keeping Up with the Kardashians called Who's Your Daddy? And Kris tries to get the kids, Courtney, Kim. Well,
it's definitely not Bruce.
Courtney, Kim, Khloe, and what's the other one? The boy.
Rob.
Okay.
Yeah.
To take DNA tests just to see or whatever. And Khloe says something along the lines of, "I've been blessed with two amazing dads. I don't need to take a DNA test to find out who my father is."
Meaning Bruce and Robert.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know where to put this part in, but anyway, it's at the end. So now that the juice has passed, the juice has run out. We're out of juice.
We're out of juice. Well, he did leave us with this one tidbit a few years ago. In 2019, OJ admitted his affair with Kris Jenner and claims he broke her vagina.
Yeah. Chloe got a big ass head. That's probably how.
I think he was talking about his...
No.
His penis. No.
No. No.
No.
No. He juiced all.
Yeah, he made a deposit of the juice.
Okay. Ew. So,
anyways,
Robert Shapiro does an interview after, I think this was after OJ passed, right?
Yeah, I know he came out and said some shit about it.
So Robert Shapiro
does Dershowitz. Dershowitz came out and made a statement too.
So Robert Shapiro did an interview and the woman asked him what OJ says to him after the judge, after Judge Ito reads out the not guilty verdict. Mm-hmm. You see OJ lean over to Robert Shapiro and say something. And it was, had been widely speculated on forever, essentially. But Robert came out and told, I think it was Fox News that did the interview, what OJ said to Robert after the not guilty verdict was read. And Robert said that OJ said, quote, "You had told me this would be the result from the beginning. You were right." That is what OJ told Robert Shapiro in the courtroom.
Mm.
Allegedly.
Bailey. The floor is yours, Bailey.
The floor is yours.
No, I was trying to find like a side by side that I could show you.
We can put it together and post
it. I don't know. I mean, that's really it. That's really all I got is the side by side. Because I just remember seeing that like a few years ago and being like, that shit is fucking crazy. And then I was convinced. And really, it's not factually based at fucking all. But Kris Jenner said that shit in her memoir. And I don't know. I mean, if they were like working so close together,
somebody's gonna like.
I wonder how the. Because I think that they were like longtime friends or something like that too. Mm-hmm. OJ and Robert.
It's like Robert's just a giant cuck.
I do wonder what the timelines are on that. Like, I don't know when Chloe was born, when their friendship started, all that shit. So.
So yeah, I can give you a discount on this legal fee bill.
Yeah, but I if you gotta
fuck my wife. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
And let me watch.
Christ.
Khloe Kardashian was born June 27th,
1984.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, if it's not OJ's kid, some other probably football player or some shit. Who knows?
Probably.
But anyway, that's it on the juice.
They met in 1967.
Robert and OJ.
Damn.
When did him and Kris Jenner get married?
Bailey's on the Googler. While she's Googling that, guys, thank you for coming along on this series with us.
It was fun.
78.
Well, there you go.
Yo.
I'm just saying. If you have any other theories on the Kardashians, please message Bailey. She loves that shit.
Yeah. Message me privately. I'm here. I'll make a whole TikTok of it before it gets banned.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe Biden. Anyway, guys, make sure you download the show. Make sure you do the things that I like you to do. Rate and review it. And Christian, do your thing.
Were you trying to do
She's
my
like,
job?
You already did it.
No.
Like, damn.
I forgot to do that at the beginning, so.
Can you just be no shade.
Sam, can you do the quote again so Eric can't do it so he can go to bed mad? Hmm? The quote.
The quote. The quote. The quit.
If the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
You let throw do something it.
At you. That wasn't even the quote.
That was the quote.
That's what I wanted to say.
If the glove.
If it doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Well,
you
said don't. The glove don't fit. You must have quit.
You're making it country.
He just made it Conway.
The glove don't fit.
There was
you
a
must
lot of
quit.
Fucking corn behind that. I'll just go ahead and UCLA. Tell you that. Well, anyway, make sure you guys are following us on the socials and sharing the show and listening, and we appreciate you guys so much. We are good.
All right. Well, who wants to do our saying? Who wants to start it this week?
Stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
Stay strange.
And live, laugh, glove. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.